Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Turns out that San Francisco may deserve that title a little bit more than people thought. They just had an election where an overwhelming landslide voted to throw out the entire Board of Education. Remember, the entire school board. The school board had voted to spend a great deal of time finding 40 schools where they were going to change the names of the schools. They were named after bad dudes like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, of course, and Dianne Feinstein, and as former mayor of San Francisco. That didn't happen, but what did happen is a recall election with a very decisive result. We will get to that. There's another favorite city, but it's not the kind of favorite city where you have news that is in any way encouraging. The favorite city I'm talking about is Seattle. Yes, Seattle is a lot of people's favorite city. It's my favorite city. But there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal, Why Thieves Love Seattle, and we will get to that on the Michael Medved Show, especially at a time when the new mayor has actually delivered his State of the City address and talked about what he's going to try to do about crime. And meanwhile, the crime problem is an increasing problem for the President of the United States, because Joe Biden, and there's a piece by Jason Riley in the Wall Street Journal about how Biden is definitely losing black support. He's not rejected by a majority of African-American people. Black people are overwhelmingly pro-democratic, but just less than before. And in close elections, that could be crucial. And what does that mean? That means you're caught because there are so many voices on the extreme left, particularly in the black community, but actually all around the country, that believe that cracking down on crime, which is so important for the country, which is so necessary, that that is going to lose some support on the extreme left. We're also going to be speaking about some of the revelations from the left contained in the latest filing by John Durham. And there's a lot of quotations, including some from Donald Trump himself, who say that this scandal is worse than Watergate. Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, says, no, it's not worse than Watergate, but it's plenty bad. Just bad in a different way. And something that was plenty good was the Super Bowl, very successful this year, certainly more successful, more watchable than the Olympics in Beijing. And one of the things that's amazing about that is that this very lavish new stadium, that this is SoFi Arena, that the Super Bowl was played in, was built for $5 billion, without a dime of taxpayer money. So how did they do that? And how do we avoid having big sports teams, yes, including the Washington Commanders, the replacement for the, well, you know the other name. How do you get those people to give up the idea that we're going to hold up taxpayers to pay for our stadiums for billionaire owners of sports teams? We'll be speaking with people from Reason Magazine, that's libertarians, who have actually researched this and taken a look at how that can be done. And we will also be talking about the idea of what qualifies you to be part of the Black Caucus in a state legislature. It turns out that it's not enough to be black. What else do you need to be? We'll be speaking with John Fund of National Review about that. But first, just a very quick word about what happened in San Francisco. They had an election last night. They had 117,000 people voting. So it's a big election. And this is not the San Francisco Bay Area. This is just the city of San Francisco. And very much the same way that people in New York who live in New York and around New York, they don't talk about we're going to go to New York or we're going to go to Manhattan. They just say we're going to the city. And people use that same terminology in San Francisco. Well, this is all about the city. Well, voters in the city took a look at the three names that were being recalled, which was all the crucial ultra-left members of the school board. And then the result was boom. Well, let's let CNN report this rather astonishing good news. Listen. Yep.
I saw a lot of kids struggling, doing school from home, and I saw the school board prioritize renaming schools over getting kids back into school.
They should have been focused on reopening schools like most districts were thinking about and doing.
Okay, and there's more than that, because the mayor of the city, London Breed, had actually endorsed the recall. Now, remember, they just tried to recall Gavin Newsom in California. That failed. That didn't work. But this did. And basically, it's a combination of the political correctness, of the craziness, of they basically were saying that that Dianne Feinstein should have her name taken away from a school that was named after her 30 years ago. She was a mayor of San Francisco in the 70s. And during the time she was mayor, this is why they wanted to rename the school. And I remember we covered this on the air, and it was unbelievable. The reason they wanted the liberal senator from California, and I know Dianne Feinstein is not the most liberal Democrat in California. You have to go some distance to get there. But what had happened is there had been some flags that had been flying in front of City Hall down near where the old Opera House was in San Francisco. And they had a whole range of different flags that were displayed that had been given there. And one of the flags that was there that was flying in front of City Hall was, bum, 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 a Confederate flag that somebody had donated years and years ago. And what Dianne Feinstein did is she allowed it to be replaced. And for that reason, she should have her name taken away from the Dianne Feinstein Elementary School. Look, I can think of all kinds of reasons you might want to. First, actually, I can't really. Because as much as I can disagree with Dianne Feinstein, once you've gone through naming a school after somebody, because you find some flaw in their political history, their political record, you're going to strip the name of the school. And people who say, oh, I went to a school that used to be called the Dianne Feinstein School. I mean, all of this is a ridiculous situation. And it's one of the reasons that one of the more powerful and I think provocative commentaries that I've seen recently is a piece by Matt Bye that just appeared in the Washington Post about why he hates both parties. Cannot stand the Democrats, cannot stand the Republicans, and he suggests that one of the things that we are likely to see is maybe, just maybe, a flourishing independent candidacy that is neither Democratic nor Republican. I think that's very unlikely. I do think it is likely that people are going to be looking at electoral reform. There's a piece by a professor who studies different schemes of voting, and he actually thinks that one of the states is just this year, for the first time, using a new system that the whole country ought to consider. What is it? What is involved? We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
The Michael Michael Medved Show all across America.
Michael Medved's marvelous malice-making media machine.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener's Square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now, 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280, and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Youngevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
One of the things that I've shared with people who listen to this show is that I ended up living 20 years of my life, including my last 2 years of high school. Then I went away to college, and then some time after college, then came back to Los Angeles. I lived a total of 20 years in L.A. And during the time that I lived in L.A., you get used to the fact that you're national news. I mean, L.A. is in national news all the time. Seattle, not so much. I mean, Seattle is not quite, it's close, but not quite in the top 10 cities in population in the country. And there are a lot of things that I think Seattle is tops in. One of them is not right now the crime rate or the climate of law enforcement or the political climate or the city council or any of that. But basically what we have right now is a situation where the only time you hear about Seattle is if there's an earthquake or if there is a disastrous crime or something goes horribly wrong, or you have a moronic, idiot, socialist city councilwoman who says incredibly stupid things. I mean, basically something embarrassing. That's when Seattle makes news. And sure enough, an editorial in the Wall Street Journal gives our town some publicity that is not really to be coveted or admired or envied. The piece is called Why Thieves Love Seattle. And it's extremely well written, of course, and it makes some powerful points. It says Democrats elsewhere may be fleeing the defund the police movement, but it lives on in Seattle. Business owners told the city council last week what the resulting breakdown in law and order means in daily life, and it deserves more attention. Wednesday's hearing, that's last Wednesday, of course, came days after the Seattle Police Department released its 2021 year-end crime report, which showed a 20% surge in violent crime to the highest levels seen in 14 years. Aggravated assaults rose 24% in 2021 from 2020, and robberies rose 18%. The official statistics show a 9% increase in property crime, but business owners testify that the real numbers are much higher. Many victims no longer bother to call the cops. Responses to 911 calls can take hours, and criminals are released soon after they're arrested. Businesses say they fear their insurance costs will spike if they report what's really going on. Seattle's soft on criminals policy predates 2020, says the Wall Street Journal. But after the murder of George Floyd, the city council voted 2 years in a row to cut police funding. And sure, that makes a lot of sense. Something terrible happens in Minneapolis. Police officers are now standing further trial, the additional police officers. Everybody's guilty. And so you do the logical thing. Something terrible happens in Minneapolis. You cut the police budget in Seattle. How asinine. The city council voted 2 years in a row to cut police funding. Since January 1st, 2020, some 357 cops have retired or quit. It's nearly impossible to recruit officers to work in a city infamous for its hostility to the police. We spoke to the former chief of police in Seattle, Carmen Best, the first black woman police chief in our town. And she tried to do a good job, but of course she ran into headwinds with the extremely radical city council and the then mayor, Jenny Durkin, who thought that the independent zone that they were creating, the Capitol Hill occupied protest CHOP, that was going to be a summer of love. There were actually murders there, right in the midst of the summer of love. In any event, all of this fits into something. Last night, Diane and I went out for one of our exciting outings during COVID to a drugstore to pick up a prescription. And again, it was fine. And there was a little bit of a problem with actually getting the right thing that we had ordered. And the lady at the front was very voluble. She was very talkative and very apologetic about having messed up the order a little bit. This is a big national chain of drugstores. And she said, well, the problem is we just don't have enough personnel. We can't hire people. You know anybody who wants a job? I said, no, not right now. And I said, what's the problem with hiring people? She said, just all the shoplifting. Nobody wants to deal with it. I said, what do you mean? This is in a nice suburban neighborhood. We're not talking about downtown Seattle. We're not talking about Third Avenue and Union or some address like that. Okay. I said, shoplifting here? She said, yeah. They come over, and she says it happens every day. They're people, they have bags, and they come in the store, we're not allowed to say anything, and they just start taking stuff off the shelves and walk out. And they fill their bags and they go out. I said, well, why don't you stop? She said, we're not allowed to stop them, because the insurance won't let that happen, because if you stop one of these people, some of them are armed, something bad can happen, the insurance doesn't want to deal with that. So the corporate policy is, no, we don't stop them in the store. The moment they leave the store premises, we call the police. We call 911. So sometimes they get there right away, but usually not. And certainly by that point, these folks have gone. Sometimes they have come up in cars. Sometimes they come up in bicycles. But every day, every day. And you see, again, part of this strikes a memory for me, because in, let's see, it was 1971. And for most of that year and a little bit of 1972, the first part of 72, I was working in the same job I had done when I was in college, where for 2.5 years I worked as a sales clerk, basically at a record store, because I love music and it seemed like a great way to earn some extra money that I needed as an undergraduate. And so, okay, so I worked there, but one of the things that was very difficult, particularly in Berkeley, California, and a little bit less so in New Haven, Connecticut, but also in New Haven, was dealing with shoplifting. And the guy who was running the store in Berkeley, his name was Sandy, sort of famous guy in Berkeley lore, but he wanted us to tackle the shoplifters and basically risk our lives. And again, you have to be pretty bold if you're going to shop, because this is not the days of compact discs or even cassette tapes. These are the days of big, large, vinyl discs, right? And you can't hide that somewhere. You can't put it in the bag. So people just grab a bunch of records and out they go. And then Sandy would see that. He'd say, oh, Mike, go ahead and tackle the guy. Go follow him. Go chase him. And, okay, I tried, but it is awful. People struggle to keep these stores alive. They really do. Everybody has to make a living, except the people who take for a living. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is expected as early as next week to loosen its guidance on indoor masking as COVID cases and hospitalizations continue to drop. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
We are assessing the most important factors based on where we are in the pandemic, and will soon put guidance in place that is relevant and encourages prevention measures when they are most needed to protect public health and our hospitals. We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better, and then have the ability to reach for them again should things worsen.
Americans picked up their pace of spending in January. Retail sales surged by 3.8% last month, higher than the projections of most economists. However, 40-year record surging inflation likely pumped up the spending numbers and not more individual purchases. This is USA Radio News.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, always great to welcome back somebody with so many court cases taking up national attention. Somebody who knows his way inside of a courtroom, knows how to prosecute people, and actually get some important convictions against criminals. Andy McCarthy. Andrew C. McCarthy is Senior Fellow of National Review Institute, contributing editor of the magazine National Review. He was a very successful prosecutor, playing a prominent and heroic role, actually, in the war against terrorism years ago. He is also the author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Okay, Andy, with the Durham revelations that people are talking about, is this worse than you expected? Is it not as bad as you expected, or is it just different from what you expected?
It's consistent with what I expected. The hole, I think, in this, Michael, from my perspective, is the theory of my book about this was that the real collusion in the 2016 election was that the Obama administration had colluded with the Clinton campaign to put the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus of the government in service of the Democratic Party, first in trying to get Hillary Clinton elected president and then trying to undermine Trump's presidency. And the big departure from what I thought happened here and what Durham's theory seems to be here is that he has the Obama administration essentially uninvolved and uninformed, and by his lights, the FBI is a dupe here. He's clearly looking hard at the Clinton campaign, but there's almost no mention so far of anything to do with the CIA. Barr announced early on, before the 2020 campaign, that Obama and Biden were not subjects of the investigation. I never expected they'd be charged with a crime, but I thought the Justice Department was pretty quick to say they were essentially uninvolved. And all of the prosecution so far, for all the hubbub around them, involved lying to the FBI. Even the FBI lawyer who was prosecuted was charged with lying to the FBI. And I just think, given the abundant evidence that we have of FBI bias and misconduct in this case, it surprises me to see Durham taking the position that the FBI is basically a sap here rather than a willing participant.
Well, and the point is that you address the idea that a number of people, very prominent people, I believe even President Trump himself, have said, oh, this is worse than Watergate. This makes Watergate look like child's play. The point that you make in your very insightful piece in National Review is, as bad as this is, it's very different from Watergate and much less serious in one sense, because Watergate was the President of the United States using the government against private citizens. And what Durham's information appears to suggest right now, this is a lot of private citizens. Yeah, they're involved in politics, but they're not working for Uncle Sam, who are actually manipulating people who do work for Uncle Sam. And
that's right.
So what happens here? Do you think there will be a further probes of the FBI? Has there been anything so far, for instance, about the current director of the FBI? James Comey is yesterday's news. We're talking about Christopher Wray. What about his exposure to anything?
I think Wray will probably come out looking all right here, because he'll, you know, he was kind of brought in to be the anti-Comey and clean things up. And as he's pointed out, you know, almost nobody, I think it is nobody, who was involved in this at the FBI in any way is still working for the FBI. So he has cleaned house, even though, you know, he's not a flashy guy. So I think he's gone about it quietly. I do think, Michael, that the big thing here is the scandal here, and very often in these political scandals, the criminal offenses that can be charged are comparatively minor versus the big scandalous narrative, which here is political spying. So obviously these charges of lying to the FBI, these sort of process crimes, are minor compared to the context in which they occur. And that's just a sort of a function of how these political scandal investigations go. But I do think the big takeaway here is that you have this insidious situation in particularly in Washington, of, you know, the sprawling edifice of the federal government, and then around it, this kind of cabal of very connected former officials, usually they're former, tied up to these think tanks and law firms and lobbying firms and what have you, and they kind of float in and out of government. They're attached to politics. They know people in government. They have privileged access to government information, and they trade on their former government credentials to have entree into organizations like the FBI and the CIA, and that's how this whole scandal took place. That's the reason the Clinton campaign was able to get as far as it did. And I think people ought to be very disturbed by that.
Well, the difficulty, again, involves what people did when they were on the federal payroll and believing some of the stuff that Jaffe and Sussman, who are the biggest names in this this current release of information, the biggest names who are there. The one thing that a number of people are talking about is this finally going to be the end of Hillary Clinton? I mean, during the campaign, eager Trump rallies were chanting, "Lock her up." And in fact, Michael Flynn led a cheer for "Lock her up" at the Republican convention. And is there going to be a serious legal exposure, does it look like, for Secretary Clinton?
Michael, you and I have been waiting for the end of Hillary Clinton for 30 years. I'm glad we weren't holding our breath, right? So, no, I don't, you know, I really don't think. There should be comeuppance for Hillary Clinton in the ultimate narrative report, but I would not hold my breath waiting to see her get charged. And I would again point out to people that, you know, for example, with respect to Sussman, which I think is a very serious case, raising very serious issues, there's a lot in the indictment, this narrative about political spying. When you flip to the last page, it's a false statements case where he's alleged to have concealed who his clients were, which is not an unserious thing, but it's a far cry from political spying. So, you know, I just don't think, I think there's going to be a harsh report written, and it's going to be very unflattering for Mrs. Clinton and her campaign, but I would not hold my breath either to expect that she'll be charged or that she's going away anytime soon.
See, and this is something else. I know you've been at least a little bit around campaigns from time to time. For the years of my life that I actually was working in campaigns, spying was a given. I mean, when people use the term opposition research, what that means is basically digging dirt on your opponents. And the question about whether laws were broken in any of that leaves an awful lot of real estate for people to do all kinds of shady scams. Not Andrew McCarthy. He's above that and someone who casts light on some of the dark places. Appreciate your comment. Meanwhile, what happens about dealing with crime, even in Seattle, coming up on the Medved Show?
Michael Medved.
Keep going. Don't ever stop.
The Michael Medved Show.
Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Drovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com at 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well, then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved show, Rudy Giuliani disagrees with Andrew McCarthy and with me. He's still out there ready to chant, lock him up, lock him up. One of the things that I think about, of course, is that once upon a time when Rudy was still America's mayor and a national hero, he was thinking about running against Hillary for the U.S. Senate. And he didn't. It would have been a very interesting campaign at the time. But now he claims he was appearing on Newsmax. and Rudy Giuliani and Newsmax, there's a combination. I think that if Rudy does not get a position on the new Trump media center, he is a very good possibility for the future on Newsmax. In any event, he made a claim about Hillary that made a little bit of news. This is clip 15. Listen.
Well, how do you think Trump knew about it back then? I can't tell you exactly how, but I know how he knew about it back then. There's a lot more to come out. This is not, I mean, what you're... They may feel that it's gobbledygook, but it's gobbledygook supported by about 1,000 pieces of evidence, none of which have been revealed yet. Mm-hmm. I happen to have it in my bedroom, or my den, actually. I've had it there for years, as well as the fraudulent election.
He has all this evidence. He's talking about Hillary's spying on Trump illegally. And Rudy should not be talking about his bedroom. I mean, it just should not, because it makes people recall the second Borat movie in which he had an unwitting starring role. And the idea that Rudy, former prosecutor, has all this evidence in his bedroom or his den, and he's just holding it back, for what? I mean, I think that obviously with the revelations coming out, and some of them very serious, and some of them making Democratic Party honchos and manipulators look very bad and very suspect and very sleazy, frankly. But the idea that this is going to be the end of Hillary, probably not.
Gobbledygook.
Let it be the end of gobbledygook. The mayor of Seattle, Bruce Harrell, who comes in with very high hopes of cleaning up some of the political extremes that have really done incredible damage to this city. And everybody knows it. He gave his State of the City address. He's a good communicator, first of all. He communicates to people, conveys determination, and an enthusiasm for doing the job, which has not really been particularly true of all of our recent mayors. And he said what I think is music to the ears of many people in the Emerald City in Seattle about hiring new person power, for the SPD, the Seattle Police Department. This is clip 11 from the mayor's State of the City address.
Part of that plan requires more officers. The depleted staffing we see today does not allow us to react to emergencies and crime with the response times that our residents deserve. We have funding to hire 125 new officers this year. So in addition to this special training class, we are rolling out a new campaign to recruit the next generation of Seattle police. But it is important that this will be consistent with the values I expect to see in our officers, the culture of the department, the engagement with community, the understanding that justice requires serving the people. Even if you're watching today and interested in helping make our city more safe and just and supportive, please reach out. We are hiring.
Okay, that's good news. And maybe some people just be inspired to take that seriously. And then, of course, he was a little bit disappointing because given the way he had campaigned, you'd like to hear, at least I would like to hear, and I think many of you would, a determination to just crack down on the encampments and clean them up. They've begun doing that, and there are places where you can see real progress. But this is what he said about improving systems to get people into shelter. This is clip 12.
We entered office. The city had six different systems in six different departments tracking outreach and services to homelessness and vulnerable neighbors. The Harlan administration, this is not acceptable. We have since combined these efforts into one system with cross-departmental expectations of coordination that will form the backbone of not only a transparent dashboard to track progress, but also, and more importantly, to better help people off of sidewalks and off of and into shelter and services.
Okay, shelter and services and helping people into them is somewhat different from making sure they go into those shelters or take advantage of those services. And don't just set up another new encampment somewhere else. But here is the way that the mayor addressed some of the obviously very, very common and frequent complaints about this homelessness. Listen, this is clip 13.
But if a person wanted to report their concern about an encampment with the city did not have a centralized system to log their report and act. Now, for the first time, we're putting the necessary people and processes in place to address the more than 1,500 reports we've received from the public just since we've taken office. Our new system will allow us to take action, share updates, and provide a more complete picture of what's happening in Seattle.
Okay, that picture is really not a pleasant picture. There's a piece in the Seattle Times where the headline was, "Under new mayor, will Seattle's homelessness policy include encampment removals?" Okay, how could it not? He basically promised it. And this should not be under new mayor, will Seattle's just move the will and remove the question mark. Under the new mayor, Seattle's homeless policy will include encampment removals. It has to, because without that, what are you doing? There was a piece in the New York Times, a moving piece, which goes to the very heart of the homeless issue. The heart of the homeless issue is twofold. It is addiction and it is mental illness. And really, really, that's what it's about. And there was a New York Times ran a large piece about one of the people chronically homeless, deeply mentally ill, who had killed a guy. He had pushed a 61-year-old person off of a subway platform into front of the subway, and they killed him. And so there's all sorts of examinations about this guy who'd been wandering the streets and been getting medication intermittently, and he would punch people before and push people before and attack people before, but until he actually kills somebody, it's just one of those lost souls who is making his way from street to street corner to street corner. Okay, it's unacceptable. There were a series of letters that the Times actually ran, and some of them from veteran psychiatrists. Here's one that was particularly striking from West Hartford, Connecticut. Harold Schwartz, who is a psychiatrist in chief emeritus in the Institute of Living at Hartford Hospital. And he says, "The woeful inadequacies of our mental health system are legion. Universal underfunding, no overarching system to provide consistent individualized care over time, insufficient hospital and residential beds, leading to too short revolving door hospitalizations, too few intermediate care programs, waiting lists for mobile crisis intervention teams, virtually non-existent housing for the mentally ill, leading to homelessness and imprisonment, and on. There is one underlying theme in all these inadequacies, our unwillingness as a society to spend the money necessary to adequately meet the needs of mentally ill people." Look, until we confront that, and he even raises the need to commit people for more than just a few hours, we won't make progress in this greatest nation on God.
Have you heard about Vine to Bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vine Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. SaveGCN.com. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. You may select all of those choices. I'm Vincent Fanelli.